It's Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you shows from the golden age of radio. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levenier. Coming up in this hour, Radio Westerns. Later on, we'll hear Gunsmoke, but right now, it's an adaptation of the Oscar-winning motion picture Stagecoach, directed by John Ford in 1939, and starring John Wayne and Claire Trevor, who reprise their roles as the Ringo Kid and Dallas.
The NBC Theater presents...
Screen Directors Guild Assignment, production Stagecoach. Director John Ford. Stars John Wayne, Claire Trevor, Ward Bond.
This is the Screen Directors Guild production of the United Artists motion picture classic Stagecoach, starring John Wayne, Claire Trevor, and Ward Bond, and introducing the director of the film, John Ford. Before we begin our story, here are a few words about the entertainment you will hear tonight and in future weeks at this time. The NBC Theater is proud to welcome the president of the Screen Directors Guild and the eminent director of such films as Variety Girl, The Perils of Pauline, and Taproots, Mr. George Marshall.
Thank you and good evening. This is the first performance of a series of Screen Directors Guild productions, in which the directors will personally bring you their favorite film assignments, along with the stars who created the original roles. Tonight, your director is John Ford. John, if you remember, is the winner of 5 Academy Awards, the guiding hand behind such great pictures as The Informer, How Green Was My Valley, and, of course, Stagecoach. You're on the set, John.
Thank you, George. And good luck on our first production. Stagecoach is ready to roll. The last time I made that crack was about 10 years ago. And I first had the opportunity of putting on film this Romance of the West. For the cast, the picture offers an array of colorful character types, ripe for the actor's talents. Now the story and the cast are united again. Here is Stagecoach with John Wayne as the Ringo Kid, Claire Trevor as Dallas, and Ward Bond as Doc Boone. In 1885, the stagecoach was the only means of travel on the American frontier. And in those days, no name struck more dread into the hearts of travelers than Geronimo, leader of the warlike Apaches. This, folks, is a story of a party of people who traveled from Tonto to Lordsburg by stagecoach in 1885. It's a story still told by the Indians.
In the land of Arizona, land of the Apache Indian, where the roaming Chiricahua fought the mighty white invader, stood the white man's city, Tonto. Tonto, where the flying wagon that the white man called the stagecoach stopped to take men to the westward, where Geronimo was leader, chief of the Apache Indian nation.
Well, that's how it is, folks. Geronimo's Apaches are on the warpath up ahead, burning every ranch in sight.
Then the question before the party assembled in this stagecoach is, shall we continue?
I say yes. Continue.
But, Mrs. Mallory, should you be traveling in your condition?
My husband is in Apache Wells with his troops. I want to be with him when our baby arrives.
Madam, I am a gambler, and I admire and respect a bold gamble. But aren't you gambling with a life besides your own?
Oh, I forgot to tell you, Mr. Hatfield. We're getting a cavalry escort for Apache Wells.
That settles it. I'm going on.
Count me in, of course, Buck.
All right. I'll go find my shotgun guard.
You don't have to go no further, Buck.
What? Curly! Well, doggone! How are you, Sheriff?
Fine, thanks, and I'll be riding shotgun up next to you this trip, Buck.
You? What for?
The Ringo kid escaped from prison. I'm looking for him.
The fellow who shot Jed Michael dead?
I hear he's heading for Lordsburg to shoot it out with the three plumber boys, so I'll be right up there next to you, Buck, all the way to Lordsburg.
Stand back, Doc. Yeah, stand out of the road there, Dallas girl.
Thanks, Doc.
Hail the stagebrush chariot.
Doc, why do I have to leave town because all these women here say I have to? I don't want to go to Lordsburg.
No more do I, Dallas. But you are a lady somewhat too hospitable to gentlemen. And I am a doctor somewhat too hospitable to spirits. We girl are the dregs of Tonto. They send us from their midst. Come, Dallas, be a glorified dreg like me.
Hi there, Buck. You have acquired two more eager passengers.
The engines are rising, Doc.
I thank them for that mark of respect. Tell them they may be seated now. Enter, Dallas.
Thanks, Doc.
Take your place beside the other lady. Then forward. On to Lordsburg!
Watch you driving through this canyon, Buck.
Well, I aim to be hard to shoot at in case Geronimo's Apaches are in these hills.
I'm with you, Buck. The law.
Well, that don't make me bulletproof. Down, oh, Kingdom High. Here she comes, Apaches.
Keep your shirt on and stop the coach. It ain't Apaches. There's someone up ahead blocking the road with a rifle.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Here he comes, whoever he is.
What? It's the Ringo Kid.
That's right, Buck. Hiya, Curly.
Ringo.
Didn't expect to find the sheriff riding shotgun.
I was heading for Lordsburg, same as you, Ringo.
Well, my horse went lame, so you got another passenger.
I'll take that rifle first, Ringo.
That's so, Sheriff.
You're under arrest for the murder of Jed Michael.
Sorry, Curly, but this Winchester here says different.
Sorry, Ringo. But if you'll look back up the road a piece, you'll see our escort of United States Cavalry coming up.
Oh.
I'll take that rifle now, Ringo.
Sure, Sheriff. But you better hold on to it. You may need it before we get to Lordsburg.
Thanks. You can get into the coach now.
Much obliged, Sheriff.
Get going, Buck.
Yep. Shooty. Yep. Gally. Hiya.
You're the famous Ringo Kid, huh?
My friends call me Ringo. Right name's Henry.
Henry? Why, I remember you. Say, I fixed your arm when you was just a little sprout. He's no higher than a quart of bourbon.
Now, that was my kid brother broke his arm. You did a good job, too, Doc. Even if you was drunk.
Well, thank you, son. How's your brother now?
He was murdered.
Oh, no.
Him and my dad. By the three plumber boys.
Well, good luck when you get to Lordsburg, son.
Thanks, Doc.
Mrs. Mallory, you're tired. Would you like to rest your head on my shoulder?
No, thank you.
Mr. Hatfield, would you mind if I sat over on your side of the coach?
Not at all, ma'am.
Excuse me. Yes, of course.
Right here, Mrs. Mallory.
Thank you, Mr. Hatfield.
I must have the plague, huh, Dallas?
You? Oh, no, it's not you.
Have a drink, Hatfield?
No, thank you.
No, thank you, he says. Have a drink, Doc? Yes, thank you.
You're not going to move away from me, are you?
No, Ringo.
Well, I guess I can't expect to break out of prison and into society in the same week.
Shh, she'll hear you.
I guess I'm pretty dumb for sitting down beside a lady like you, Dallas.
A lady?
Thanks for not moving. Oh,
don't, please. Why are you looking at me like that?
Ain't I seen you someplace before?
No. No, you haven't.
I wish I had, though.
I know you. I mean, I know who you are.
Yeah, I used to be a good cowhand. A few years back, things happened.
Yes, things happened.
Bottle in a bottle. Drink up, Doc. Drink
Doc's
up.
Getting a snoot full.
Things happened. And now they'll take you back to prison.
Not till I finish a job in Lordsburg.
Ringo, I wish you wouldn't.
Wish I wouldn't what?
Oh, nothing. Nothing.
Bottle in a bottle.
Confound that driver. Oh, why doesn't he drive more carefully?
He's playing it smart, Hatfield. He took to the mountains. Apaches don't like snow.
Well, he might have some consideration for Mrs. Mallory and her condition.
Oh, I'll be all right, Mr. Hatfield. Thank you.
Bottle in a bottle, bottle.
Apache Wells just ahead.
Bottle.
Apache Wells.
Bottle in a bottle.
Mr. Hatfield, why didn't my husband and his troops meet us here?
The Wrangler tells me that Captain Mallory has been sent ahead to Lordsburg.
Lordsburg.
Well, we'd better turn around and follow the cavalry escort to Tonto.
Oh, we can't do that.
With Apaches on the war path, it ain't safe to go through Apache country without escort. I say we ought to turn back.
There's only one way to find out. Take a vote.
What do you say, Mrs. Mallory? On to Lordsburg or back to Tonto?
I want my husband with me when our baby's born.
Doc?
Ain't you forgot this, lady?
You mean Dallas?
Oh, I say go. I've nothing to go back to.
Doc?
Lordsburg. Pass the bottle.
Ringo?
Ringo's my prisoner. I'm voting his proxy. I say Lordsburg.
Hatfield?
I am at the service of Mrs. Mallory.
Thank you.
Buck?
Lordsburg it is. Alistair, step inside and get some grub. Look spry.
Better take my arm up these steps, Mrs. Mallory.
No, thank you. Really, I'm quite...
Mrs. Mallory.
She's fainted.
I've got her. Dr. Boone.
For her, huh?
Mrs. Mallory needs your help.
Oh, it's no use. He's drunk. Ringo.
Yeah?
I don't know for sure, but I think you better go inside and start heating some water.
All you want, and then some. And then some.
Carry her inside, Mr. Hatfield.
Oh, allow me. Allow me.
I'll carry her myself, you sot.
Thank you, sir.
You drunken swine.
Thank you.
Now, if you'll open the door for me, Dallas.
Yes.
Drunken swine of a doctor.
Doc, honest, ain't you ashamed?
Did I understand that swine to call me a drunken swine?
Oh, I wish I could do something.
There is something you can do, Buck.
Yeah, but what can you do in your condition?
I can drink all of the hot black coffee you can make. I, sir, am a doctor. Now get busy. Get busy.
NBC Theater is presenting the Screen Directors Guild production of Stagecoach, starring Claire Trevor, John Wayne, and Ward Bond, with screen director John Ford.
Apache Wells, the white man called it. Here the white squaw had her child, while the flying wagon waited, waited while my tribesmen gathered. On the hills and on the desert gathered the Apache warriors, while the white squaw had her child and the flying wagon waited.
Oh, it makes me nervous, being held up like this in Apache country. Just when they're mad at us again.
Quiet, Buck.
Huh?
Someone's coming. Dallas?
Look. It's a little girl.
A girl?
Let me see it. Well, I'll be doggone.
That's real fine, ain't it, Dallas? Real fine.
Oh, yes, Curly. It's fine.
A baby. How? No, I mean, why?
I'll explain it to you sometime, Buck.
Listen, boys. Doc Boone. Three cheers for Doc Boone.
Never mind the three cheers. Just pour me four fingers instead. I'm thirsty.
Dallas?
Oh.
It's me, Ringo.
Oh.
You oughtn't to be outside here at night alone. Apaches like to pick off strays.
Well, you're here now.
I watched you with that baby today. You looked well, nice.
I just wanted to hold it a minute.
You're visiting in Lordsburg?
I have friends there.
Oh, good.
Ringo, why don't you escape?
I aim to, in Lordsburg.
Well, why not now? Why not go over the border now?
My father and brother were shot down by the plumber boys. I guess you don't know how it feels to lose your folks that way.
My folks were killed by Indians when I was a kid.
Oh, that's tough. Well, it's a hard country, especially for a girl.
You have to live no matter what.
That's it. Look, Miss Dallas, you've got no folks, neither have I. Maybe I'm crazy to ask you, but, well, I still got a ranch down across the border, and I... Well, I guess I'm crazy being close to you like this, but...
Ringo! Ringo! You don't know me. You don't know who I am, or
I know I want to marry you, Dallas.
Ringo!
That ain't an answer, Dallas.
Oh! Ringo, you can't go to Lordsburg. Not now. The plumber boys will be 3-1 against you. You'll get killed.
Can't tell.
You can't win.
Can't run away from it either.
How can you talk about our life together when you want to throw your life away?
Well, what do you want me to do?
Get away. I'll follow you.
You mean that, Dallas?
Well, I just can't leave Mrs. Mallory and her baby now, but listen. There's a horse all saddled and ready for you in the corral.
What?
Yeah, there's a rifle in the saddle boot. Now get going. I'll come after you.
I'm counting on that, Dallas, with my life.
Goodbye, Ringo. Watch out for Apaches.
I got a rifle now, and I got you. Don't worry, Dallas. I'll be waiting. Hold it. Whoa! Hold it. Hold it, boy. Easy. Smoke signals on the ridge. Apaches. I gotta warn Dallas and the others. I gotta go back. Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
On the ridge and on the mesa, smoke that Chiricahua fires. Rise the fires, told my nation. Strike the white man's flying wagon. Rise, my kinsmen. Rise, Apaches. Chieftains, horsemen, lances, rifles. Stagecoach on the Lordsburg Trail. Thus the signals on the mesa. Thus the writing in the sky. Thus, my fierce Apache horsemen, follow on the Lordsburg Trail.
of making good time. I say we're out of danger now, thanks to Ringo here. Very decent of you to come back, Ringo.
I wouldn't be too sure we're out of danger yet, Hatfield.
We'll be in Lordsburg soon, then.
Very soon.
How's the baby?
Sleeping.
Doc told me what you did for me. Thank you very much, Dallas.
You know, danger whets my appetite. Indeed it does. Let me see. There must be a bottle of something left in this bag. Look.
A bullet. It just missed your head, Doc.
On the floor, Miss Mallory. Dallas, you and Miss Mallory, get down!
Apaches, hundreds of them.
Hey, Ringo!
Curly's calling you from the driver's
seat,
Ringo.
Here's your Winchester. Use it, man, use it.
Thanks. Got my rifle.
Ringo, look out! That Apache on the painted pony.
Got it.
See that engine on that Mustang coming alongside?
Don't talk. Shoot!
Well, now you see him. And now you don't.
You ladies all right?
We're all right.
Now you see him. Now you don't.
Baby, all right?
Yes, baby, all right.
You gentlemen will be good enough to shoot Indians instead of...
Hatfield, been hit.
Get that Apache. I'll help Hatfield.
Got it.
Faster. Drive faster. Fire, fire. Can't you see the hole around us?
Now, Mrs. Mallory, you'll get
hurt. Easy, Hatfield, easy.
I could use some more help up here.
Give me your pistol, Doc.
Take it.
Thanks. Look at all those Indians.
Apaches all have big families.
Don't talk. Shoot.
I can't. Out of ammunition.
Why have Buck and Curly stopped firing outside?
Buck's hit. Curly's empty, too. This looks like it.
No, no. I have only 3 bullets left.
That's enough. The Indians won't get you or Mrs. Mallory or the baby.
No. No, they won't. Listen. Get down. No, listen. It's a bugle. Listen.
It's the cavalry from Lordsburg. How's that feel?
Death. Glory, glory.
Well, good night, Ringo.
Is this where you live in Lordsburg?
I told you. I warned you. I told you you didn't know me. This part of town is no place for a nice girl, but it's all right for me. Now say goodbye, Ringo. Say goodbye.
I asked you to marry me, didn't I?
I'll never forget you asked me.
Go on back and wait for me in the stagecoach.
Where are you going?
Business. With the plumber boys. I'll just take a slow walk down Main Street and see what happens.
Dear Lord, this stagecoach don't pass much for a church, but I'm praying till you're here. Please, Lord, it's 3-1 against Ringo out there. And the plumber boys are dead shots. Awful dead shots, Lord. Like I was saying, Lord, it's 2-1, Lord. He's all I got and all I ever want. So please, dear Lord, please let me have him back. Please, please, please. Out there. Ringo!
Yeah.
You hurt?
No.
I prayed for you. I prayed.
You did good.
Let's get out of here then. Escape.
Don't have to anymore. Before he cashed in, Luke Plummer confessed he killed Jed Michael.
You're free?
Yeah.
And they didn't even hurt you? Dead shots like the Plummer boys?
Deadest dead shots you ever saw.
Oh, Ringo! Ringo!
Dallas, what are you crying for? Nothing's happened.
the story of those brave men, riders of the flying wagon, in the land of Arizona, where Geronimo was chief. In the great land in the desert where the flying wagon galloped, that the white men called the stagecoach, bringing brave men to the west.
Our stars will return in just a moment. The NBC Theater has presented the Screen Directors Guild production of Stagecoach, starring John Wayne, Claire Trevor, and Ward Bond, and introduced by John Ford. And now, here again is our special guest, the president of the Screen Directors Guild, Mr. George Marshall.
The premier production of the Screen Directors' entry into radio has now joined the Stagecoach itself in that great fund of memories known as the past. And speaking for the Guild, I'd like to express our gratitude to the National Broadcasting Company for the opportunity to better acquaint the public with the work and role of the screen director. Take it away, John Ford.
Well, how do you hardy frontiersmen like pioneering in an NBC studio instead of the Badlands of Arizona?
Very much. You know, just the memory of that dust is enough to send me running home to wash my hair.
Pappy, this is wonderful.
Wayne, wonderful? What do you mean?
No, getting up early in the morning and arguing with a horse.
You know, I think it's wonderful that the screen director is being honored like this. He's the fellow who really makes the movie.
Blair.
As for us actors and actresses, well...
Oh, where'd we be without you, Pappy, and others like you?
That's right.
You taught us our business. That's all I can say.
Thanks.
They're talking about wonderful things. It's a wonder that Pappy here hasn't yet displayed his fine, tyrannical hand.
How do you do? That's so, Ward. John, now look. As long as we're speaking about fine, tyrannical hands, look, are we going to do this again? Because if so, I'd like to take you folks...
Yeah, I thought so. Huh? You'd have something to say about it. We had that same trouble 10 years ago.
That's right.
Hey, can't you go out and retake?
Now, look, John, don't you remember? This is radio. There are no retakes. Good night, everybody.
Our thanks to our stars, John Wayne, Claire Trevor, and Ward Bond, and to screen directors, George Marshall and John Ford. Also heard were Barbara Fuller, Peter Leeds, Horace Murphy, Norman Field, Dan Riss, Ken Carson, and Eddie Fields. Tonight's story was adapted by Milton Geiger, and original music was composed and conducted by Henry Russell. Production was under the supervision of Howard Wiley. Your announcer, Frank Barton. John Wayne can soon be seen in John Ford's Argosy production, Three Godfathers, and Claire Trevor appears in the soon-to-be-released Amusement Enterprises picture, The Lucky Stiff. Ward Bond is currently appearing in the Victor Fleming production, Joan of Arc. Listen again next week when the NBC Theater presents...
Screen Directors Guild Assignment, production Let's Live a Little, director Richard Wallace, star Robert Cummings.
Stagecoach, on the Screen Directors Assignment Program, an NBC episode heard on January 9th, 1949. John Wayne is the Ringo Kid on the radio adaptation, and of course the silver screen version under the direction of John Ford, kicking off a long relationship between the two with films like Fort Apache and She Wore a Yellow Ribbon. And although it marked the first with Ford, it would be John Wayne's 80th motion picture. This is Tuned to Yesterday. I'm Mark Levionier, bringing you an hour of radio westerns. And now one of the most famous that translated on television, it's Gunsmoke. And this next story, Word of Honor, was used on the TV series on October 1st, 1955. The CBS radio broadcast stars William Conrad, Parley Bear, Larry Dobkin, John Daner, and Howard McNear.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
Get out of that one.
I will, Doc.
Well, then go ahead, Matt. Oh, I've been waiting a long time to teach you how to play checkers.
Uh-huh.
You see? You thought you had me, didn't you?
I have, Doc.
Oh, yeah. Go on, then.
How's that?
Where'd you see that one? Well, that'll wait.
You're beat, Doc, and you know it.
Just a moment, now. Just a moment. This isn't so bad, you know. It's not so
All right, then go ahead and get out of it.
Hello. There's Chester, Matt. You better go see what he wants.
Oh, no, Doc. I'm not going to leave you alone with this boy.
Hey, Doc, you in there? I need help.
Why, he's calling me. Oh, no. Look what I did. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll bet you are.
Oh, I'd have gotten out of it, man. I saw my move.
Yeah, I know you did, and you made it. What's all the ruckus about, Chester?
I got me a sick dog across my horse here.
A what?
A sick dog.
Yeah, I'm going back in.
Stick around, Doc.
He's awful sick, Doc. You gotta help.
Yeah, what's the matter? Somebody shoot him?
No, he's been up against some wolf bait.
Well, my goodness, Tessie, I'm not a veterinarian.
Doc, this dog's sicker than a pig. He's about to die.
No.
Hey, you want him up in your office, Doc?
No, I don't want him up there.
Oh, Doc.
Well, of course, a paying customer might see me working on him here, and I... Oh, all right. Come on.
Grab a hold there, Doc. I got this in. Oh, now, them snarls and bites don't mean nothing. He's been doing that at me all the way back from Finey's.
Put him down, Chester. He'll bite you the way you handle him.
Well, I...
Here, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. There we are.
That's fine.
Take it easy.
That's good, man. Who's going to pay for this, Chester?
Yes.
I've only had a $15 week so far.
Well, why don't you see if you can save him first, Doc?
Oh, I'll save him. If it's what you say it is, it's strychnine poisoning.
Somebody open the door, will you?
Open the door, Chester. Now, take him on in there. That's right. And shut the door, Chester.
I will.
Yeah, that's it, Matt. That's fine, easy.
Take it easy now, boy. That's the boy. Hey, this is Spiny Murphy's dog, isn't it, Chester?
I'm going to keep him, Mr. Dillon.
I said this is Spiny Murphy's dog, isn't it?
Well, it looks more like a wolf than a dog. Easy there, Bob. Just take it easy.
Chester.
Chester?
Does Spiny Murphy know that you got his dog?
No, sir. Well, I mean, I don't know what...
Will you two get out of here? Let a man prostitute his talents in peace?
Take it easy, Doc.
I got me a name for him. Pal.
Oh, pal. Oh, that's very original, Chester, yeah. Go on, wait outside, the both of you.
Poor dog.
You know, Chester, this could spell trouble for you.
How do you mean?
Well, you know Miss Murphy beats up on Spiny every now and then.
Sure?
Well, Miles told me yesterday that Spiny was in his store.
And she beat up on him again?
Miles said he could hardly walk.
She's a downright mean woman, ain't she? I don't know how any man stays married to one like that.
That's not the point, Chester.
It ain't.
Spiny got that dog for protection from her.
Well, I've been wanting me a dog for a long time, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, I know, but don't take that one.
Yeah, but if Spiny poisoned him, then he don't deserve
it. Well, maybe it wasn't Spiny.
Oh?
Maybe it was his wife.
Well, are you saying I shouldn't have tried to save him?
No, you'd have to do that, but do you expect her to thank you when you bring him back?
Well, she's not... Well, and she wouldn't get after me, would she?
She will if you bring the dog back. And I will if you don't.
Here, boy. Here. That's a boy. right in, sir.
Hello, Doc. Oh, you got him on his feet already?
Yes, sir. Where's Chester?
Oh, I sent him out for the mail.
Oh, well, that's a good thing. He's been hounding me all morning about this wolf he found.
Yeah.
I wouldn't let him see me.
He's been after me, too. That's why I had to get rid of him. How are you, boy?
Where are you going to keep him, man?
How are you, boy? Oh, we're not, Doc.
You're not? Well, Chester's going to be mighty disappointed.
Yeah, I know. Come here, boy. Come on. Why didn't you wash him up some?
Wash him up some? It was bad enough just working on him without trying to wash him up.
Oh, he's friendly enough, aren't you, boy? Huh? Yeah. Ooh, that dog really smells.
Yes, why do you think I brought him down here?
Well, I'm going to put him out in the cell section. Come on, boy. Come on, this way. That's a boy. Is this the rope that was on him?
I guess so.
Spiny must have been really afraid he'd get away. Go on now. Go on in there. That's it.
You're kind of unfair to your prisoners, aren't you, man?
Well, they can complain to Chester.
Dylan, there wasn't no mail down there. There was... Doc, what you doing down here? Where's Pal?
Well, Chester, I've got bad news for you.
Oh, now, Doc, now, don't tell me that. That dog kindly took to me.
Now, Chester, just take it easy now, boy. Oh. There was nothing that I could do.
Oh, my land.
He lived.
What? Where's he at?
He's out back. But I wouldn't go out there, Chester.
Old pal. Doc, you're a wonder.
Watch it, Chester.
He's coming around. Oh, Doc, you've done fine. He looks right lively now.
He does?
Chester, I can't imagine how it could happen the way he goes after you, but don't get too attached to that dog.
Well, why not?
Because this afternoon, we're going to take him back where he belongs.
Oh, come on, pal. Don't drag back that way. Mr. Dillon, it just don't seem right somehow.
What doesn't, Chester?
What we're doing here, leading this poor old dog right back into the trouble that got him the way I found him.
And I'm going to try to put a stop to that.
Well, Ms. Murphy don't seem to be the appeasing kind, if you ask me.
Maybe I can get Spiny to prefer assault charges against her this time.
Now, you know he won't do that. He's a scare to her.
Well, if it was a case of wife beating, I'd be jailing him without charges.
Yeah, I guess you would at that. There it is, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah. There's smoke coming up. Somebody's home. Let's leave our horses here, huh? Well, aren't you getting down?
Well, I just thought I'd kindly wait here, Mr. John. I'll hold Pal's rope.
Are you afraid, Chester?
Well, no, sir, I'm not. It ain't that.
Oh, it's get just... down. Here, give me the rope. The dog takes a chunk out of it. Come on, boy.
Okay.
Oh, so you're the one that got him.
There she is, Mr. John.
Hello, Mal.
The marshal, is it? So the little spineless wonder's had to go and get him a man to back him up.
I haven't seen Spiny, Mal.
Oh, you don't need to lie to me, Marshal. Dylan, I've been expecting you.
We brung your dog back, ma'am, that's all.
And you can take him right away with you. I don't want that mangy critter around here, dead or alive.
Mal, I hear that you beat up on Spiny again.
You hear right, Marshal. And if he was to show up now, I'd do it all over, threatening to sick that dog on me the way he did.
Where is Spiny, Mo?
I don't know, but you'd better find him and bring him back.
Oh, I thought you were finished with it.
Oh, it's not like that at all, Marshal. I kind of miss the little fella. We've been fighting it out on these plains for 15 years now.
Well, I think you've gone too far this time.
What do you mean?
Miles McTagg told me Spiny could hardly walk when he came out for supplies the other day.
Supplies? I didn't send him for no supplies.
Well, Miles said he bought enough to keep him a month.
Then he's holed up somewhere, the gutless little weasel.
Maybe he's had enough.
Then you better be finding him and sending him home before I bring charges against him.
Charges? What for?
For desertion, what else?
Desertion.
And when you do find him, tell him to come back and act like a man for a change.
If I find him.
If you find him? Oh, Marshal, the man you are... I can tell a man when I see one. Oh, Marshal, dear, come in and have a drink.
No, thanks, Ma. We got a big day ahead of us.
Ah, that spiny. He won't even touch the stuff. And I miss the companionship of a friend to share it with.
Well, some other time, Moll, huh? When Spiny's back?
But if it's him you're worrying about, you could spit in his eye and drown him.
Look, Moll, there's just one thing I want to tell you. You treat Spiny right when he comes back, or I'll have to do something about it.
Ah, he comes back a man, and I'll consider it.
Mr. Noon, what about Pal?
Chester, you take the dog and welcome to him.
Mr. Noon?
Oh, all right, Chester. You can keep him till we find Spiny. Come on.
Keep a tight hold on that rope till I get on the horse.
Oh, do reconsider, Marshal. I've got some real good whiskey from the old...
Yeah, well, another time, Moll.
Evening, Marshal. You in for your glass of rye?
Oh, not right now, Sam, thanks. Matter of fact, I'm looking for Kitty.
She was here just a minute ago. Oh, there she is, Marshal, over there by the piano. She's talking to Mr. McTell.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I didn't see her. Thanks, Sam.
Yeah.
Hello, Kitty. Miles.
Matt.
Oh, sit down, Matthew, and we'll get another pitcher of beer.
Oh, all right.
Matt, I hear Chester's got Spiny's dog.
Well, either that or the dog's got him. I'm not sure which.
He told me he's put him in a cell over there and he's training him like Spiny did.
Chester training him?
You don't sound convinced.
Kitty, that dog can't stand Chester.
Maybe Chester tries too hard.
Hey, where is Spiny? Has anybody seen him?
No, not since the day I told you about.
Well, I wouldn't be likely to see him, Matt. You know Spiny. He never touches a drop.
Now, maybe it'd be better if he didn't.
Well, if you'd like to converse with the man, I can tell you where to find him.
What? I thought you didn't know.
Oh, I didn't say that. I said I hadn't seen him. That's the truth. The man swore me to secrecy.
What for?
When a man wants to get away from his wife for a change, why should I stop him? Had you seen him, you'd understand.
Where is he, Miles? Tell me. I'd like to get this thing settled.
He's over at the Dodge House, room 12.
Yeah. Well, I'll see you later.
What are you going to do, Matt?
I'm going to talk to him, Kitty. I think Spiny needs to know a few things about the weaker sex. Here, Chester, put this with tomorrow's mail, will you? I gotta get all this paperwork done tonight.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, what is it?
What did Spiny say when you talked to him?
Chester, I got work to do. If you're gonna drag her on like that, go to bed.
Well, maybe I will just rest a bit.
That's better.
Mr. Dillon?
Yes, Chester.
The last dog I had, I wasn't but 9 years old. One day a bear reached out of a hickory tree and grabbed him, and that was the last of him.
Ah, that's too bad.
Yeah, just an old pal was dead. Didn't Spiny say nothing?
Look, Chester, we didn't talk about the dog at all. Spiny's got other problems. Now, maybe he'll let you keep him. I don't know.
He will?
I said maybe, Chester. But why? That dog won't even let you pet him.
Well, he did once today.
Yeah, and I saw you hiding the wound.
Well,
where you got him now?
Outside. I tied him to the hitch rack out back. I better go bring him in.
Now, don't get hurt.
Oh, you know, he ain't gonna hurt me.
Kitty, what is it?
Matt, you won't believe this, but Spiny's drunk.
Spiny?
He's wild drunk, and he's heading out to fix Moll. That's what he said. He was going to fix her good.
Well, I wouldn't worry about it, Kitty. Moll can take care of herself.
Well, Mr. Dillon, he's gone. Somebody's untied him. Pal's gone.
Matt, he meant it.
Yeah, I guess Spiny's really going after her this time. We better hurry, Chester. right, this is close enough.
You could have rid up a lot closer, Mr. Dillon.
No, I want a surprise, Spiny, if I can.
Well, now, pal ain't going to let us do that.
Be quiet now.
Well, I've had all I'm going to take from you.
Spiny Murphy, you've been drinking. Lord, love you,
I've been
drinking.
Don't call me Spiny no more. It's
Terrence. Whiskey sure boils to the top what's in a man, don't it, Mr. Dillon?
Be quiet, Chester.
I bet you ain't changed at all. You're still the spineless little wonder to me.
Don't say that, Marl. I told you. Spiny, am I? How do you like that?
Oh. Come on, Chester, before he kills her.
Oh, you want a good go, do you?
Spiny.
Here, no, stop it! Mr. Dillon, look out behind you, it's Mo! There! Terrence Murphy. I guess that takes care of that nosy
martyr. You all right, Mr. Dillon? Mr. Dillon, you all right?
Come here, my lord.
Mr. Dillon.
Did I hurt you?
Mr. Dillon, are you all right?
Yes, I'm all right, Chester. Mo? I ought to put you under arrest. You too, Spiny.
Who are you calling Spiny? This is my husband, Terence Murphy, you're addressing, and you'll not be arresting anybody here tonight, Marshal Dillon.
I don't see pal around nowhere.
Oh, forget it, Chester. Come on, let's get out of here.
Spiny, Mr. Murphy, could I have your dog now?
Well, you're welcome to him, Chester, if you can find him.
What?
He heard some wolves and ran off from me on the way out here.
Oh.
I said let's get out of here, Chester.
Oh,
Mr. Dillon, old Maul sure did put an awful knot on your head of that table leg. Mr. Dillon.
Yes, what is it?
Did I get you into all this?
No, Chester. Your dog did.
I sure am going to miss, pal.
I don't know, Chester, the way that dog went after you.
Well, you don't understand.
I don't, huh?
I wouldn't want a dog treated me the same way he done everybody else.
Well, pal sure didn't do that.
Can I buy you a drink, Mr. Dillon?
No, I still got to finish that paperwork.
Well, I don't want to drink alone.
Well, then you better stay here. I need your help anyway.
I see.
Well, come on, Chester. You can start sorting out this stuff.
All right, I will, but first I think I better go clean up the cell section. Pal kindly tore up a chair and a mattress out there.
Okay.
It won't take me long. Mr. Dillon? Mr. Dillon?
Yes, I heard him, Chester.
Mr. Dillon... Mr. Dillon, pal came home.
And now our star, William Conrad.
You know, out in cattle country, each location has its own unwritten laws concerning the dress and the working habits of a cowboy. For instance, you can tell by his hat and the way it's shaped where a cowboy comes from or how he makes his living. Well, next week, a man dies because of a difference of opinion on how to rope a calf.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Featured in the cast were Parley Bear as Chester, Howard McNear as Doc, and Georgia Ellis as Kitty. George Walsh speaking. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
John Meston's story, Word of Honor, broadcast on Gunsmoke on January 10th, 1953 on CBS. That brings to an end this hour of Radio Westerns. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.